Hello and welcome everyone to the first and hopefully not last episode of the 4D Life podcast. So I'm your host, Tom Gustafson, and this is going to be a podcast that primarily deals with the game Magic the Gathering. But as some people may recall the voice, we'll usually end up talking about a whole lot of other stuff. So this is, again, going to be a podcast about Magic the Gathering, but there's probably going to be stuff about kind of life with kids, life after 40, hence the name 40 Life Podcast. Video games is just kind of other random mental potpourri stuff. Since this is the first episode, of course, we have to do the usual introduction. So again, my name is Tom Gustafson. Hopefully, as we go down the road, we'll be having some co-hosts joining us. But you may recall from a long, long time ago when I still had a sliver of relevancy in the Magic world. I was the host of the Monday Night Magic podcast for a number of years before I handed it off to some very capable hands about 7 years ago with the birth of our first kid. But as kids have gotten older, and they're actually all of them are in school, so again, feeling kind of old these days, I was motivated to return back to podcasting. And boy, since the early, early days of Monday Night Magic, man, have the tools for making a podcast gotten drastically better. So much easier. Again, here I'm recording locally with Audacity, just using a USB mic with a super duper fancy pop filter. Looks like nylons. Skype. There's a lot of different ways of recording digitally online. It's amazing. No more using, I think it was Gizmo. Try to remember the old recording utilities to use that was highly unreliable, we'll say. But to be honest, one of the reasons that I got back to podcasting today, besides having thought about it for a long time, was seeing a tweet. So I am not a hip 40-some-year-old. I do have a Twitter account. I admit I do not have an Instagram account. I don't have a Snapchat account. I honestly am not sure the difference between the two. But I do follow some very cool magic people on Twitter, and one that I have talked to a handful of times, followed for a long time, Benny Smith. He writes for Star City Games, well known as an enormous Commander fan. Or if you're in my age group and you are requiring some daily fiber supplementation, Elder Dragon Highlander. But he tweeted, had a picture of a handful of a card, and it just said, "Hey, I found a bunch of $5 bills." And the card pictured was Wall of Kelp. I personally have always kind of liked this card because I like cards with Defender or in the old days, Wall. But I was like, $5 for a Wall of Kelp? So before we just kind of tumble down into the Magic the Gathering financial singularity that has led us to where Wall of Kelp is actually the most valuable card in Homelands, let's talk a little bit about what the set Homelands is, or that expansion, and also how long ago this was, kind of what was going on in life. So for quite a few players out there, if you are graduating high school or are in college, you were probably born after Homelands was released. So Homelands was actually the seventh expansion for Magic the Gathering. So this was the second in the Ice Age block. Came out October 1995. So this is a long time ago. In a lot of ways, Homelands is probably one of the most panned or disliked expansions probably ever in Magic the Gathering. For a lot of us, though, we have a soft spot for Homelands. There are some pretty cool Minotaurs in this set. Other cards I remember liking was Autumn Willow. This was, in some ways, arguably one of the first appearances of being untargetable. So Autumn Willow was 2 green, 4 colorless. It's a 4/4. Was a legend. Now it's a legendary creature, subtype Avatar, which I didn't know. And it does now have, this is the errata, it does have the official word of Shroud. So I believe this is the earliest card to have Shroud. It also had the ability to green, and : until end of turn, Autumn Willow can be the target of spells or abilities controlled by target players, though it didn't have Shroud. So you could hopefully give yourself the ability to target it. This was a fun card. A lot of us played it. Another card that I greatly enjoyed was Serrated Arrows. This is four colorless. It was an artifact. This one has been reprinted now a few different times in anthologies. Actually was in a World Championship deck in 1997. Came into battlefield with three arrowhead counters on it. Beginning of your upkeep, if there are no arrowhead counters on Serrated Arrows, you sack it. But you tap it, remove an arrowhead counter from it, and put a -1/-1 counter on target creature. So this was a way to get around kind of untargetability or protection from certain colors. So Order of the Ebon Hand, things with pro black, pro white, this was a tool to use that, especially in those days if you were a kind of a mono black mirror match. This was a way to kill, potentially, if they're subbing things in, anything with pro black. This was a nice way to do it. But getting back to kind of our wall of colon health, is I was kind of flabbergasted that somebody else even mentioned Wall of Kelp and then used the words $5. So I pulled up Wall of Kelp. If you don't recall, and maybe a lot of you probably don't, we have Wall of Kelp, blue. Now it's a creature plant wall. And I love tribal. I specifically love plants. Has Defender. It's a 0/3. And it has the ability of blue tap, create a 0/1 blue plant wall creature token with Defender named Kelp. I don't know, Kelp is kind of cool to me. Played with this card before way back. Guess had not thought about it in years. So due to kind of Benny's tweet, pulled it up. And A, not only is it kind of worth over $5, kind of closer to like, $5.50 to $6, is that right now, Wall of Kelp is actually the most valuable card out of the entire Homeland set. This, again, just shocked me. So I was curious why. And also in his tweet, he included a picture of another card. And this is a card from M19, Arcades the Strategist. It's a 3/5 casting cost of 1 green, white, blue, or should say colorless mana. Gotta be specific. Colorless, green, white, blue. It's a legendary creature, Elder Dragon. It was a mythic. 3/5 Flying Vigilance. Whenever a creature with Defender enters the battlefield under your control, you draw a card. And kind of a Doran. Each creature you control with Defender assigns combat damage equal to its toughness rather than its power, and it can attack as though it didn't have Defender. So there are some cool sites that I use. I specifically recommend if I'm looking up specific cards, I greatly like to use scryfall.com. I think their interface is great, amazing search engine, can't recommend highly enough. And then if I'm kind of curious about the cost of cards over time, I have found mtggoldfish.com to be kind of fascinating to look at things over time. So if you look at this, for most of time, probably since 1995, Wall of Kelp has been in kind of the dollar sub-dollar range. They have a neat thing where you can graph the price over time, and you can kind of look at how they generate these prices. I think they're a pretty good ballpark. Is M19 kind of was announced and came out, and boom, it actually spiked as high as $25 for a Wall of Kelp. So you just envision that, Wall of Kelp, $25. Mainly because of this interaction with Arcades, because it draws you a card, it can attack as a 3/3 in a lot of ways, and it can create a whole lot of card advantage. So I thought that was fascinating, that it was actually $25 for a short period of time, and then kind of roughly this year, it stabilized down to roughly that $6 range. So, yeah, if you have a bin of old blue cards, specifically from Homelands, go through it, see if you have any Wall of Kelps. I personally thought that was fascinating. So, besides playing with Autumn Willow, ignoring Wall of Kelp, 1995 was an interesting year. Again, probably because quite a few out there did not yet exist. Biggest movies that year were the first Toy Story. Think about that, the first Toy Story. And the second biggest grosser, I love movies, was Batman Forever. And if people are typing in Batman Forever, yes, this is one of the Val Kilmer Batmans. It made a lot of money, but most people agree it was a pretty atrocious movie. Other things that were kind of cool that happened in 95, besides Homelands, this was actually the first E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo. I thought that was unique. If you're playing video games, this was the kind of the heydays of the PS1. We were kind of getting the Setting Sun games of the SNES, and we were just starting to get the first kind of glimpses and reveals of the N64. Games that when I looked through a list from 95 that I remember playing probably more than a healthy amount of, was Twisted Metal on the PS1, Command & Conquer and TIE Fighter for the PC came out, and then a sort of a missed gem that's become more popular these years, the first Mario Picross for the Game Boy came out. And also, just to feel old, I was nearing the end of high school. So, bam. So, I just thought it was fascinating that Wall of Kelp, $5 to $6, mainly due to this interaction with Arcades, the strategist, all driven by, you know, those beautiful, beautiful Commander players out there. That is kind of the end of our first episode. I will be diving into future. These will probably be shorter, 15, 30-minute podcasts, planning for once a week. Easy to do. Again, I'm going to try to rope in some co-hosts, maybe a rotating chair, maybe a regular host going down the road. But either way, I just wanted to podcast again. So, bam, here we are. So as long as I brush my digital teeth, kind of use my digital banaka, I will rope in some hosts here. And again, for you older people out there, I am curious how many of you either remembered Banaka or used Banaka. If you aren't sure what this is and it is not a recording artist or kind of new type of tea, Banaka was this, looked like a small can of old spray deodorant. And it was a little bit bigger than like a chapstick. And it was basically like a mint flavored pepper spray for your throat. So it was, you spray this thing in, your eyes would water. It was painful, but once the pain subsided, your breath would smell minty fresh or like you had just shot a bunch of mouthwash in your mouth. So I also had not thought about Banaka for a long time. So we'll be diving back into some old kind of cool toys and cereals and stuff too. But overall, thanks for joining me for the first episode of the 40 Life podcast. Again, we'll be talking about magic, video games, random stuff, roping in co-hosts. If you want to send me an email, if you listen to any of the old Monday Night Magics, that was one of my absolute favorite things about podcasting, was just getting kind of emails or hearing back from people that listen. So our email is 40lifepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send us a tweet or use Twitter, we're at 40lifecast. Again, that's at 40lifecast. And our website URL will be 40lifepodcast.com. So again, thanks for joining me. Want to get the first episode out here. Thank you to Benny Smith for motivating me and also making me realize that Wall of Kelp is actually worth money. That just still amazes me. We'll talk about just some of the kind of crazy, as we go forward, some of the just absolutely bonkers secondary card prices now for kind of old random cards that really nobody used before the advent of, I would argue, probably the coolest format of all time, being Commander. Pluses and minuses. This is when you're playing your doubling season. Be like, hey, I want to get another doubling season. And you go to buy one, and you're like, oh my gosh. Let me type it in, give you the most up-to-date value. Yeah, doubling season. Again, a card first came out in Ravnica. I thought it was cool. I used it, again, I had it in a bunch of like my plant decks, kind of commander decks. Right now, for Ravnica, it's rare. Currently, the rough price is about $57. That is just, to me, is still insanity. So I kind of like exploring sort of the random price spikes of sort of these old cards that really were not even thought of until either a new interaction comes out with a new set, or specifically, hey, this is really awesome with a new legendary creature for a commander that's come out. So again, thanks for joining me. My name is Tom. Again, 40lifepodcast@gmail.com, at 40lifecast, or you can go to 40lifepodcast.com. There will be an RSS feed there, so you can put that in any of your favorite podcast players, or if you just want to watch on Twitter, I'll post a link every time a new episode comes out. So thanks again, and join us next week. Have a good one.